I greatly appreciate the kind thought, and may I take this opportunity of telling you that I consider that in all Yorkshire there is no finer gentleman breathing than T. Farnham.
The big red face grew very solemn. You honour me with those words, old friend?
Not a bit of it, I slurred. My stumbling sentences cannot hope to express my extremely high opinion of you.
You are too kind, hiccuped Tristan.
Nothing of the sort.
It's a privilege.
It's a rare privilege to know you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Tristan nodded gravely at me from a distance of about 6 inches. We were staring into each other's eyes with intense absorption, and the conversation might have gone on for a long time if Brenda hadn't broken in.
Hey, when you two have finished rubbing noses, I'd rather like another drink.
Tristan gave her a cold look.
You'll just have to wait a few minutes.
There's something I have to do.
He rose, shook himself, and walked with dignity to the centre of the floor. When he turned to face his audience, he looked exalted. I felt this would be an outstanding performance. Tristan raised his arms and gazed imperiously over his imaginary orchestra, taking in the packed rows of strings, the woodwind, brass, and timpani in one sweeping glance. Then, with a violent downswing, he led them into the overture. Rossini this time, I thought, or maybe Wagner, as I watched him throwing his head about, bringing in the violins with a waving clenched fist, or exhorting the trumpets with a glare and a trembling outstretched hand. It was somewhere near the middle of the piece that the rot always set in, and I watched enthralled as the face began to twitch and the lips to snarl. The arm waving became more and more convulsive, then the whole body jerked with uncontrollable spasms. It was clear that the end was near. Tristan's eyes were rolling, his hair hung over his face, and he had lost control of the music, which crashed and billowed about him. Suddenly he grew rigid, his arms fell to his sides, and he crashed to the floor. I was joining in the applause and laughter when I noticed that Tristan was very still. I bent over him and found that he had struck his head against the heavy oak leg of the settle, and was almost unconscious. The nurses were quickly into action. Brenda expertly propped up his head while Connie ran for a basin of hot water and a cloth. When he opened his eyes, they were bathing a tender lump above his ear. Mr. Peacock hovered anxiously in the background.
Is that all right? Can I do anything?
Tristan sat up and sipped weakly at his beer. He was very pale.
I'll be all right in a minute, and there is something you can do. You can bring us one for the road, and then we must be getting on to this dance.
The landlord hurried away and returned with the enamel jug brimming. The final pint revived Tristan miraculously, and he was soon on his feet. Then we shook hands affectionately with Mr. Peacock and took our leave. After the brightness of the inn, the darkness pressed on us like a blanket, and we groped our way up the steep street till we could see the Institute standing on its grassy mound. Faint rays of light escaped through the chinks in the curtained windows, and we could hear music and a rhythmic thudding. A cheerful young farmer took our money at the door, and when we went into the hall, we were swallowed up in a tight mass of dancers. The place was packed solidly with young men in stiff-looking dark suits and girls in bright dresses, all sweating happily as they swayed and wheeled to the music. On the low platform at one end, four musicians were playing their hearts out: piano, accordion, violin, and drums. At the other end, several comfortable middle-aged women stood behind a long table on trestles, presiding over the thick sandwiches of ham and brawn, homemade pies, jugs of milk and trifles generously laid with cream. All around the walls, more lads were standing, eyeing the unattached girls. I recognized the young client.
What do you call this dance?
I yelled above the din.
The Eva three-step,
came back the reply. This was new to me, but I launched out confidently with Connie. There was a lot of twirling and stamping, and when the men brought their heavy boots down on the boards, the hall shook and the noise was deafening. I loved it. I was right on the peak, and I whirled Connie effortlessly round among the throng. I was dimly aware of bumping people with my shoulders, but try as I might, I couldn't feel my feet touching the floor. The floating sensation was delicious. I decided that I had never been so happy in my life.